Be Cultural listeners, I'm Jim Tew. Today I'm reading to you my article in the 2022 December issue of Be Culture magazine. I'm doing a review of an old book published in 1980 entitled Beekeeping in the United States. It's a review of a classic beekeeping book that's available to you for free. Why this book? Why trot this book out of retirement? Each December, Bee Culture typically features various current honeybee keepers and related scientific and educational staff. I usually choose to tell Bee Culture readers about beekeeping figures who are no longer with us or are retired from working in our apicultural field, but who at one time were prominent figures in our industry. I don't know why I began to do this, but it's probably because I am now, myself, a senior citizen beekeeper. I can look backward as easily as I can look forward. During my career, I've had the honor of knowing and working with many, many beekeeping authorities who are no longer with us. About once a year, I say to you readers that we are standing on their beekeeping shoulders, and most of you do not even know who they are. The authors of the chapter in this book were some of those supporting people. So why this book and not some other? Because it's a quiet classic. Printed copies are still common. But importantly, it is digitized and is available just using simple archival searches. In the article, I provided a URL. I don't know whose idea it was to put this text together, but it was an idea for the time. It's a who's who of Agricultural Research Service researchers of that period. These authors were noted researchers, teachers, and frequent speakers at meetings and conventions. Listeners, they were the in crowd of beekeeping research and information distribution. This readable book was written before tracheal mites, varroa mites, Africanized bees, small hive beetles, neonic insecticides, and colony collapse disorder. At best, there were only simple computers and telephones. The book authoritatively captures U.S. beekeeping before our industry began what I call the big transition. After the time of this book, everything changed, included the ARS's research direction. All things beekeeping had to change to keep up with the unfolding honeybee management world. I present an abstract taken straight from the book entitled Abstract of Beekeeping in the United States, written by E.C. Martin, Everett Ortel, N.P. Nye, and others. It was published in 1980, and it was handbook number 335. It's 193 pages long, and it's illustrated. Circa 1980, in the United States, about 200,000 people keep almost 5 million colonies of honeybees, and produce 200 million to 250 million pounds of honey annually. Beekeepers derive income from the sale of honey, the renting of honeybee colonies for crop pollination, production and sale of queen bees and package bees, and to a minor extent from the sale of beeswax, pollen, bee venom, propolis, and royal jelly. This handbook provides readers with a better understanding of beekeeping in the United States. Some of the topics discussed are the life history of the honeybee, bee behavior, breeding and genetics of the honeybee, queens, packages, nuclei, managing colonies for high honey yield and crop pollination, diseases and pests of honeybees, and effects of pesticides on honeybee mortality. This handbook also lists beekeeping organizations and some of the statistics on bees and honey. Listeners, that was from the abstract of the book in 1980. Some modern-day beekeeper numbers are, today there are anywhere from 115 to 125,000 beekeepers. According to USDA reports, 2.71 million honey-producing colonies in 2020 generated 148 million pounds of raw honey. According to the National Honey Board's per capita consumption of honey in the United States, it's about 1.51 pounds per person per year. I offer a typical personal disclaimer here in the article. Bee Culture listeners, my comments are not a historical review of the USDA Agricultural Research Service's honeybee program. Neither are my comments in this article intended to rank or highlight one individual above or below another. There are just too many respected people who contributed to this book for me to research and review each one. My comments here are personal and are only selected memories of my interaction with some of these notable individuals. As it were, this is my story. E.C. Martin. Dr. E.C. Martin, he was called Bert, spent most of his career in Michigan at Michigan State University. Later, he served as staff scientist, National Program Staff, Science and Education Administration. He was a researcher, a copious writer, and a teacher. At the time of the publication of Beekeeping in the United States in 1980, he was already retired. Yet his contributions appear throughout this publication that I'm reviewing. My limited memory of him was as a quiet, pensive man, yet he had a profound effect on my personal career. In 1977, as a young graduate student at the University of Maryland, while being mentored by Dr. Dewey Caron, Dr. Martin notified me that a position in a commercial beekeeping training program was about to open at The Ohio State University in Worcester, Ohio. I immediately contacted OSU and began the process of applying. Upon being interviewed, the OSU review committee wanted to know how I learned of the job before it had even been posted. I confess that the heads up that Dr. Martin had sent me was the reason. I was awarded the job and went on to work for the Department of Entomology at Ohio State for about the next 34 years. To this very day, I feel like my early application submission impressed the search committee as much as my academic credentials. Thank you, Dr. Martin. Everett Oratell. Born in 1897, Dr. Oratell was older than my beloved grandfather. At the Bee Lab in Baton Rouge, I only knew him, with respect, as a doddering old man who came to the lab every day and reflected on nearly anything. He spent nearly all his career at the Baton Rouge Bee Lab. During World War I, he served with the United States 32nd Division and the American Expeditionary Forces in France. He was awarded a French award that, listeners, I can't pronounce in French, with Silver Star, a presidential citation, and the Purple Heart. I didn't know any of this when I knew him. I didn't really know anything about his history. To me, he just seemed to have become the national de facto beekeeping historian, probably due to his age. But I do know that in his earlier life, he was a productive honeybee researcher, particularly involved in honeybee metamorphosis. Even in old age, he was alert and involved in conversational beekeeping. He was committed to all things honeybees. In his retirement, he played a significant role and compiling this text. He's been gone since 1988. Yet here I sit, reading his contributions to beekeeping and this book. Thank you, Dr. Hortell. S.C. McGregor. In my defense, I met Dr. McGregor on multiple occasions and sat in on several of his presentations. But as I searched the background literature for this article, I realized I'd never snapped a photo. So listeners, I've included a couple of photos that I found on the web that show Dr. McGregor as a young man and then later on as an older man. While I do not know details as a young man in the 1970s, I was aware that Dr. McGregor was working literally on a tome that would list major crop plants and give specifics about each plant, including pollination requirements. It took him years to compile the necessary information and diagrams. At long last, and after many delays, the seminal text was released in 1976, and it did not disappoint. Insect pollination of cultivated crop plants as a basic information source is still alive and fundamentally useful today. The updated version can be found at the citation that I listed in this article. So if you're just listening, key in the book, Insect Pollination of Cultivated Crop Plants, and that online book will turn up. Additionally, the book is readily available in printed format at bee supply outlets. So how are these two books related? An abbreviated version of this larger book was presented as a chapter entitled Pollination of Crops in the book that I'm reviewing, Beekeeping in the United States. And just so you're aware, I present a picture of my old copy of that book. Jonathan W. White, Jr. has the distinction of being the last honey chemist for the U.S. beekeeping industry. He was a prolific researcher and chemist. Dr. White was born on 29 September 1916 and passed away September 2, 2001. A native of State College, Pennsylvania, and a Pennsylvania State University alumnus, he is still recognized for his outstanding contributions to apiculture and honey research during his 66-year career. I challenge you to go to the web, key in his name. There will be abundant listings presented on all aspects of honey chemistry and honey handling. In virtual format, his reputation lives right on, but today, few latter-day beekeepers know of his contribution. His co-authored chapter with Landis W. Donner in Beekeeping in the United States, entitled Honey Composition and Properties, continues to be the foundational information concerning honey chemistry, quality, and food value. H. Shimanuki. What can I say? Dr. Hachiro Shimanuki was a walking, living library of beekeeping information. He knew the general beekeeping literature better than anyone I have ever known. He sat on my review committee at the University of Maryland and was part of my professional life for many years. In fact, without his permission, I would like to tell you now that he was a significant mentor in my academic life. I haven't seen him in many years, but I appreciate all he did for the U.S. beekeeping industry and for me. In the book I'm reviewing, his chapter was on diseases and pests of the honeybee. Even in its current outdated format, his information is relevant today. For many years, he was the lab leader at the USDA ARS Honeybee Laboratory at Beltsville, Maryland. If he was not directly involved in a particular study, he was a frequent co-author. And then I present a URL in the article that lists his published works. For decades, Dr. Shimanuki and the lab for which he was leader was the go-to source for any pathological and pest-related bee question. He attended hundreds of meetings across the world. He was there for the establishment of tracheal mites. He was there for the Roa mite invasion and the migration of Africanized honeybees. He was an obvious choice for offering this disease and pest chapter in the USDA's general beekeeping book. Thomas E. Renderer. Tom Renderer was the lab leader at the Bee Breeding and Stock Center at Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Listeners, for clarity, this is the same facility where Dr. Oratel, whom I reviewed above, also worked. Dr. John Harbo and oh so many others also performed research at that facility. Advances in honeybee queen instrumental insemination and breeding were common study topics. Dr. Renderer from this lab was pivotal in Africanized bee honeybee studies as the U.S. beekeeping industry prepared for the arrival of the Africanized honeybee. Before my time at Ohio State, Dr. Renderer was a student of Dr. Walter Rothenbuehler at The Ohio State University, where he began his honeybee genetic skills. The chapter that Dr. Renderer and Dr. Harbo submitted in beekeeping in the United States is still educational and fundamental today. For those of you just beginning in beekeeping genetic studies, this simple, readable format that describes complex breeding strategies would be a perfect place to start. For example, Russian bee stocks are used in the U.S. today due, in part, to Dr. Renderer's effort to select and introduce that stock into this country. I hate doing this, but I must stop, and I must stop well before many other contributors to our wealth and knowledge are acknowledged. They're in the book. Have a look. Their contributions were as significant as those whom I selected to discuss. So, why this book? I end essentially where I started. Why review this old book? Because it's a time capsule of the pre-Varroa way of U.S. beekeeping. Each chapter was written by an authority of the time. It was comprehensive, having unusual chapters on topics like moving honeybee colonies or showing honey at fairs. It has a list of nectar and pollen-producing plants. It's just a good all-around general text book. After 1980, it was never updated. I supposed too many things had changed. The internet was growing. Other organizations were forming. Our bee lives moved on, but this book, still available to you, remains the same, locked in time. It's not a how-to book, and oddly, it has no index. But it presented some of the best information of the day by some of the best authorities of the time. I like this 42-year-old book. Thank you for letting me remember these people and their contributions. I enjoyed the memories. And to you, thanks for listening. Again, I'm Jim Tew, author, contributor to Bee Culture Magazine. I've been reading to you from the December issue 2022 of my review of a book entitled Beekeeping in the United States. Thank you.